You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Spent a lot of time in the first hour talking about what could possibly be the best game of the NFL season last night. Certainly went back and forth, and the Ravens beating the Browns 47-42. They came in as a three-and-a-half-point favorite in this game, and a bad beat. Because even if you're there and you go, all right, Justin Tucker kicked the field goal, all right, it's going to be a push. And then the Browns try to make something happen, and then they end up with a safety, and that is a bad beat. Although, I always look at it this way. We say it's a bad beat, but what about the guy who goes, oh my gosh, what's best case scenario? Oh, Justin Tucker kicks a field goal and it's a push. Oh, the Browns trying to do something. And then, oh, it's a safety. I just covered. I just won this bet. We never talk about that. I know Scott Van Pelt does his bad beats. Occasionally, I'd like for him to talk to somebody who benefits from the bad beat. Or, you know, it's a great win there. But going in, it's 3 points. Tucker kicks the field goal, and you go, all right, it's a push. And then you get the safety there. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. We'll talk to Lewis Riddick. He worked the game last night for the mothership. Get his thoughts on which team will be more dangerous, assuming both are getting into the playoffs, the Ravens and the Browns. And I would say the Ravens, because they have the X factor. There's only a couple of X factors in the NFL when you think about it. Patrick Mahomes, certainly an X factor. Aaron Rodgers, an X factor. Aaron Donald, an X factor. You could look at maybe Josh Allen is getting up there as one of those X factors. I don't look at Drew Brees or Tom Brady as X factors. Kyler Murray can be. Russell Wilson certainly is an X factor. There's a handful of them. But with Lamar Jackson, you have something that is unique. He's not going to beat you consistently with his arm, but he will beat you consistently with his legs. And you saw that last night, running for over 100 yards and picking up a big win on the road. Here is John Harbaugh talking about his quarterback.
They played a very good football game, and we played a very good football game. It was one. It's a game that's going to go down in history. So just proud to be a part of it and really proud of our players.
Here is Baker Mayfield talking about seeing Lamar Jackson come out of the locker room with 2 minutes to go.
He's an unbelievable player, unbelievable guy. I mean, his work ethic is unreal. It was like the scene out of a movie. You know, I hate that for Trace McSorley, praying that he's okay. As soon as he went down, you could see Lamar trotting back out on the field. It was, you know, geez. You know, I mean, he's a great player. So, you know, you're going to have to just try and contain him. You're never going to be able to stop guys like that. He's just a great player.
The teams combined for 9 rushing touchdowns that tied for the most in any game in NFL history. Last time it happened, 1922. I almost get the feeling that, let's say this was a movie. Lamar Jackson goes in the locker room. We don't know why he went in there. He said he was cramping up, maybe getting an IV. So we follow him in there. You know, the camera, you know, the dolly is going to follow him. And then he goes into the locker room. They put a needle in his arm. And then the IV happens. And you could hear the crowd a little bit. And then all of a sudden, he wants to have updates there. So he's sitting there getting his IV. Wait, what's happening? What's happening? Trace McSorley just went down awkwardly. Take out the needle. We can't take out the needle. And then all of a sudden he walks to the door. And then he opens the door. And then there's the lights that are on him. And then he runs out. And then all of a sudden he throws a touchdown pass. That's how Spielberg probably would have done it. Take out the needle. No, we can't. Take out the needle. I'm going to take it out myself. No! And he takes out the needle. And then he runs out on the field. At least that's how I kind of envisioned it last night.
It might have been, I've got to get back in this game. My teammates need me.
Now, it might have been Lamar comes in and he's got to use the bathroom. And we got him in the stall. So it's probably less cinematic there. You know, what happened? He had to go to the bathroom. Number two. Oh, okay. Not the Hollywood ending, although it was a Hollywood ending because Hollywood Brown caught the touchdown pass for the Ravens there. Yes, McLevin.
unbelievable. When he pulls out the cord, blood spurts in the air. Ooh. Cinematically.
Yes. Right. And with the IV, it can't be, it has to be one of those old glass IVs, so it smashes to the ground. Ooh. As he's running out. It can't be one of the bag IVs. There's no sound there.
Pull the needle out. We can't. I'll do it myself. And then in slow motion, blood's coming out. And then the IV dripping. And then you see him go out. And then all of a sudden, magic. Yeah, Paul.
It wouldn't be a similar cinematic if there was a big flush and he's running and there's toilet paper hanging from the back of his cleat. And he's running into the stadium.
Yes, McLovin.
The clip that everyone's looking at, Lamar is running in the back. There's actually like a locker room attendant who opens a door that almost takes Lamar out and they almost run into each other. That'd be the worst case scenario. Like he had to avoid the locker room attendant.
I just saw this tweet. It's funny. I don't know the person sending it out. Noel Fogelman tweets, the rest of the Jets games this season will be on Comedy Central. That's good. The Browns play the Giants next Sunday night, and the Browns, 3.5-point favorites there in New York. We'll have a poll question, I think. Are we going to stay with the poll question for the first hour, McLovin? 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle dp@show.
The first hour, I just put up, would you rather have Nick Chubb or Justin Tucker? 57% wanted Chubb.
That's a stupid
question.
Why are we doing that?
I think it's interesting. I mean, I don't think anyone wants Ezekiel Elliott, by the way. I think most people would not even want him on the roster for nothing.
But, I mean, it comes out of nowhere with that. Like, have something that's a little broader with your question.
Well, that's a fair question, though. Nick Chubb is a breakaway running back and really good. But your point about Justin Tucker being a sure thing is kind of the point that the best kicker, by far the best kicker.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a point. It's a question. But it's not a poll. A poll question should be, who do you think is going to be more dangerous in the postseason, assuming they both make it, the Ravens or the Browns? Like, you know, Justin Tucker over Nick Chubb? People are probably going, huh? What? Yeah, McLovin.
It's funny. I think people are dying to play the Browns in the playoffs. Like they were 3-point underdogs at home against the Ravens. The Ravens are. Paulie asked a question: how many teams in the AFC scare you for the Super Bowl? I think the Ravens are one of those teams, aren't they? Because of, like you said, they're unusual.
Well, yeah, I'm not. The Browns, I think, if they play a perfect game, then they can beat Kansas City. They can beat Pittsburgh. They can beat, I think, anybody in the AFC. But it's a perfect game, once again. And it's rare that that happens. And that is, you run the football. You run for at least 200 yards. Baker has no interceptions. Play action. And you put pressure on Patrick Mahomes. And you don't have to blitz anybody. Like, if you play a perfect game like that, then you have a chance to win. But it's really rare. We've seen teams that play a perfect half against Kansas City. 3 quarters. You got to play 4 quarters. Perfect game. But, you know, I think Baltimore is a dangerous team because they'll get healthier. You know, you still don't have a lot of weapons as far as the passing game with Baltimore. But, you know, maybe it's going to be a lot more Lamar Jackson. And I think he's going to have to take ownership here. And it felt like last night, that's what you got with Lamar Jackson. Here's Jackson talking about returning to the game.
I get a ball to JK and my legs just start cramping. And I'm like, bro, like I need something now, like to help me get better real quick, because this is a crucial game right here. You know, both teams are playing their hearts out. And we went to the back. Dr. Tuck, she was helping me out a lot. And, you know, Trace was doing a great job dropping the ball down the field. And then I see him go down, and I'm like, we got to start now. Like, we just got to go out there now. And I start running out there. Kel running with me. It's fourth down, and offensive line blocked their tail off, and our guys just made great catches, and we came out with the victory.
Yep, it was impressive. It was. And Justin Tucker with the field goal, and then you had the safety as well, 47-42. 4 years ago today, we lost Craig Sager. The NBA season is 1 week away. I saw where Kyrie Irving was walking back some of his comments. I don't really care. You know, if Kyrie wants to talk or doesn't want to talk, I mean, it doesn't change my day. But he does owe it to NBA fans who actually care what he has to say. And he now knows that it's going to cost him and his team a lot of money. And while he makes $33 million, he may not care, but his team is going to care. And he walked back a comment that he made a couple of weeks ago. I don't even know when he made this comment, but this is when Steve Nash first took over, and I went, ooh, this comment is not going to age well. Here's Kyrie Irving yesterday.
Steve's been amazing, and it really is a reflection of the type of person he is, you know, and the IQ he has for the game. You know, I think I got to take back my comments in terms of head coach back a few months ago, but it's just like, man, we have such a great synergy. Everyone feels like we're coaching one another to be better. So I'm grateful for that.
That wasn't that difficult, was it? I mean, it wasn't. And he spoke to us pawns, and I really appreciate that. The king spoke to us. I really appreciate that. Yeah, see.
I like he's just sort of like, well, it turns out he is actually a coach.
Yeah.
So, my bad. Turns out Steve actually is kind of a coach. So, yeah, we got to walk that one back.
I don't think Kyrie would appreciate if Steve Nash goes, I'm basically going to play point out there. I'm going to be the brains with these guys on the floor. You know, they're going to listen to me since I'm a two-time MVP and I'm a Hall of Famer. That wouldn't age well with Kyrie, I don't think. I had fun watching them, their game against the Wizards. I watched LaMelo Ball last night. There's plenty of room on the bandwagon here. You know, because of his dad, nobody wants to board the plane. But I will say, he is going to be fun. He really is. He's got something. You know, they call it the it factor. LaMelo can play and play at a high level. It comes down to decisions that he makes. Every time I've watched him, he makes decisions where you go, what are you thinking? And if you're going to have the ball in your hands, you know, I don't, you can't have somebody out there where you go, what are you thinking? Like, you're the leader. You're the point guard. But he can see the open man, find the open man. His shot is not bad. It starts low, but it's far better than his older brother. And LiAngelo Ball, they call him Jello, he got cut by the Detroit Pistons, and dad was not pleased. He called them a raggedy team. Jello can shoot. I just don't think he can play. He's an elite shooter, but I don't think he's a good player. An NBA player, I should say. Yes, McLevin.
You know, you always say we'll find the superstars. Do you think we'll find LaMelo in Charlotte? I was watching the highlights. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I kind of forgot they had a franchise at some point. You know, it's a low-buzz team generally. Will that change?
Well, you know, we found players in different places before. We found them in Cleveland. Trying to think, you know, when Shaq was in Orlando with Penny Hardaway. I mean, it happens. But you're able to watch all of these games. Zion's in New Orleans. We're going to find them. The question is, will the networks bring them to your attention? Will they make it easier for you to find them and show Charlotte on TV? Because up until now, you'd show Charlotte and go, boy, I hope Kemba Walker gets out of there. Oh, there's Michael Jordan at a game. And that would be just about it. But I think that maybe that they have to be decent. That's the only problem, because you can tune in and watch LaMelo Ball, but I don't know if the team is going to be that good this year. But he's worth watching. He's worth finding. I will say that. Let me see. Anything else I need to mention here?
Dan, Zion, 33 and a half minutes last night.
Oh, they've turned him loose.
I'm rounding up to 34.
Oh, they've turned him loose. Oh, I love that. They're turning Zion loose this year. Okay. I don't know if 33 minutes is turning him loose, but great. I hope he plays an awful lot. Let's see. Say good morning to our TV partner. That's Peacock. And you can download the app and watch all 3 hours for free. And you can listen on a great radio affiliates around the country, numbering over 375. Couple of phone calls in here. Tom in Los Angeles. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I just was wondering if you had a chance to, about the Kyrie thing. I think it's pretty transparent that, one, he's trying to suck up all the oxygen, knowing that this is now going to be KD's team, just like it was in Golden State and in Oklahoma City. And also, how long do you think this will last before KD kind of gets sick of basically Kyrie trying to passive aggressively create his own headlines by taking all the attention away. Like, if KD has a 30 plus game, but they want to talk about Kyrie not wanting to talk, how long do you think that's going
to
go?
Yeah, but I think KD understand. He has to know who Kyrie Irving is. It's not like he got to Brooklyn and went, wait a minute, what's he doing here? KD loves to tweet. Kyrie, it feels like it's sometimes passive-aggressive there, but KD does his damage behind the scenes when he tweets out stuff, or you tweet something and then he gets angry and he tweets back at you. But I don't know if KD's going, hey, I want my attention here. You know, this is a great experiment, just these personalities together, and it could either be really good or really bad, it feels like. I don't know if there's middle ground here. But it was wonderful to see KD back out there. Because, you know, we haven't seen a player like this in NBA history who is that tall, that mobile, who can go to the hoop, mid-range jumper, great at the free throw line, long-range jumper. I know we love to throw out unicorn, and Kristaps Porzingis used to be a unicorn. You know, KD is probably the original unicorn because you don't expect somebody that big to be that graceful. His stroke is wonderful, and he won't end up as the all-time leading scorer, but he might be, you know, the greatest scorer we've ever seen from the standpoint of where he did it, how he did it. And look, Harden is going to be unstoppable for many years to come, and, you know, LeBron's going to be the all-time leading scorer probably, but there are guys where you go, that he's unique. You know, Kareem was unique from the standpoint of he had a ballet-type feel to him, jazz-type feel to him. Harden is, I'm just going to, I have brute force, but I do have finesse. KD is not going to muscle anybody. He looks like the same size than when he was a freshman at Texas. But to watch what he does and how he does it from different places on the floor, we haven't seen that before. And, he won't have the most points, but we might look at him as, you know, that was unstoppable. And there are very few players where you go unstoppable. James Harden is unstoppable. Now, when he gets stopped, he stops himself. Kareem, to me, was unstoppable. Wilt in a previous generation was unstoppable. There are players, you know, Jordan, I guess at times, you know, was unstoppable. But you saw something with KD, and I'm glad it's back. But, you know, you're dealing with a guy coming off an Achilles surgery. He hasn't played in a year and a half. And how many – you're going to have to limit his minutes. And that will be tricky as well with both Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But to watch them – and that's a good team. You know, the Nets are a good team. The question is, those role players who were stars before these guys came in – how do they sort of immerse themselves back into being just a role player instead of, I get my touches, I'm averaging 20 a game. Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, like these guys got shots. They got points, Joe Harris. And that's tricky as well when it comes to those two coming in and taking all the air out of the room. More phone calls coming up. Lewis Riddick, who called the game last night for the mothership, he'll join us. Who is a more dangerous team come playoff time between these two? We'll talk to him about that and more 20 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. 2020 has changed the world of sports, and some teams are adapting by, well, making changes to their stadiums and arenas, not allowing fans in. I saw where the Knicks aren't allowing the media in. Well, if you run a business, you're making changes, and ZipRecruiter is here to help you. When it comes to hiring new positions, you know, you're going to be Zooming with people and trying to get the right person for the right job. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. You post a job on ZipRecruiter, then it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds the most qualified ones for your job, actively invites them to apply. And it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. ZipRecruiter is a hiring game changer. That's why you can try it for free right now, ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick, ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. And it's easy to do it, and you're going to find the right person for that job. Don't miss out on your chance. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. He was on the broadcast last night with Brian Griese and Steve Levy. He's Louis Riddick, who was kind enough to join us on the program. Louis, let me start with this question. Thanks for joining us. Was this a good night for the Cleveland Browns?
Yes, it was. It was. And I know, you know, I said last night, Dan, that there's no consolation prizes in the NFL. You know, there's no moral victories. But I think for this football team and for the city, given the fact that this is a team that had beaten them 8 out of the past 11 games, I believe it was, or 8 out of the past 10 games, something like that. And given the fact that the narrative surrounding the Browns is really not a narrative. I mean, it's a truth that they hadn't beaten anybody good. They hadn't really stood up and really given the quality teams, for say in the NFL, real good games. Outside of, you know, playing Tennessee the way they did the week before and beating them, they needed to have a good performance. They needed to have a strong performance. They needed to show that they can compete for three and a half hours, however long a game is going to take, and compete at a high level and play an exciting brand of football for really people to say that's not the same old Browns then. And I think they accomplished that. And if, you know, for a play here and there, for them not to, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that they went up against the reigning MVP, who quite honestly put on like a Superman-like performance last night, they win that football game. And I think people, if you really look at it, you don't have any kind of grudge against the Cleveland Browns and or aren't just predetermined to say, look, the Browns are the Browns and they're not going to be relevant again. Then you would make that kind of objective assessment that this is a different football team and Kevin Stefanski has them going in the right direction.
Assuming both make the playoffs, who would be the tougher out?
I would probably still say the Ravens would still be the tougher out because of the fact that Lamar is just so different. He's such a difference maker. And when his, you know, if he's not able to really get it going through the air, whether it be because he's not on or because the wide receiver core is letting him down in many respects, like they did last night for the better part of the game until, you know, Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown make some good big plays late. I still think that they have enough on the offensive side to give every team a scare because of Lamar, because of how special he is just as an athlete overall. And I think the defense, you know, they were down some players last night, particularly in the secondary, and it started to cost them late in the game. I think the defense is one where they'll be able to ratchet it up and they will be able to make enough plays, enough game-changing plays in order to keep them in it and give Lamar enough possessions to win a football game in a single elimination type scenario. So I'd give them the nod.
Yeah, I would too, because Lamar is one of the handful of players has that it factor, and I think that mm-hmm. the Ravens are going to get healthier here over the next month. But if I'm Cleveland's defense, like, what did they want Lamar to do last night? What were they trying to get him to do? Because I still don't know.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a great point. What happened was, you know, with him, they let him get every time they played man-to-man coverage against their wide receivers, and they didn't have good vision on Lamar. That's when they got themselves in trouble. When they played zone coverage, played with good vision on him, kept him contained, so to speak, in the pocket, and were able to rally to him because they had 11 eyes on him because people were able to play with good vision, they were relatively successful. So I think that's what wound up happening. When they broke down, he doesn't give you much margin for error, and he took advantage of them whenever they turned their back on him, so to speak. And I said that a couple different times last night, that anytime he's making them pay every time they try to make him pay by playing tight man coverage against him and seeing whether or not he can throw the football against him. Because he'll just say, hey, look, you know, maybe I can't get the ball where I need to get it to right now in the passing game, but what I can always do that can always take off and run and just gas you that way. And he did that last night. And I think he does that against a lot of people. He does that against the majority of people he goes against. Cleveland still has some work to do, Dan. There's no question about that. They still have some work to do on the defensive side where they'll need some more reinforcements, and they'll need to add some guys this offseason. And remember, Denzel Ward wasn't playing last night either. So, I mean, there's still some work to be done. But that's Lamar. Lamar has will have you start looking at your roster and going, man, what else do I need? Are we not really good enough when he makes you look like that?
Did you have an idea what was going on in the locker room?
We weren't, you know what, I suspected that, you know, maybe it was, you know, the player sometimes, you know, nature calls. Sometimes things just happen to where you have to do what you need to do. I wasn't sure. I mean, I just knew this. When the Ravens kept saying that he wasn't, that there was nothing wrong with him, he wasn't hurt, he wasn't injured really, I thought, you know what, it could be a wide range of things. But I really didn't have any idea. You know, quite honestly, when Trace McSorley went into the football game and he was throwing the ball with some good effectiveness, I was like, man, this could be interesting. Maybe we're going to see a coming out party for Trace McSorley right here. and then next thing you know, he slips and, you know, his knee gets caught up. And I'm going, what the heck is going on? And then you see Lamar come running back out. And I'm going, this is just nuts. This is high drama right here. It was actually pretty cool how it all happened. I just hope Trace McSorley is okay. I haven't heard exactly what, you know, the extent of his injury, but I mean, Lamar told us what he told us as far as what happened in the locker room. Nevertheless, I mean, the way he won that game for him, you know, before, I mean, he didn't win it, but the way he set it up for him, what a heck of a story it was.
Okay, how does that work? When you played.
Yeah.
And you have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So how's that work?
You know, I mean, I'm sure you've heard stories, man, about, I guess it depends what kind of going to the bathroom you're talking about, all right? I mean, if you just have to go number one, so to speak. I mean, some guys, Dan, look, man, I play with guys who just would go in their pants. I mean, Mark Schlereth used to talk about all the time about guys who would just go in their pants, you know, right there on the sideline. I mean, there was no porta potty or anything like that on the sideline. So, I mean, guys would just take matters in their own hands, so to speak. When it comes to something else, for me, that never happened. I mean, that's the weird thing. In all my years of football, from Pop Warner all the way to the pros, I don't think in a game that ever happened to me. And I don't remember there being a situation where it became an issue for someone else. You know, it was usually something that people took care of at halftime or whatever. But
I remember Rodney Harrison saying,
that never happened to me.
Rodney Harrison said that you just sit on the bench, put a towel underneath you, and
I have never seen somebody do that. I'm telling you, I've never seen that. But that would be wild. I would have known if that would have happened. Believe me, man, I would have known. But it just never came up.
He's Louis Riddick, ESPN Monday Night Football analyst, former pro scout, director of pro personnel, and former NFL defensive back. Do you hold any grudges with anybody that you played against? Was there somebody that hit you, said something like, it'll never go away?
No, I don't. Not while we were playing, no. Because, you know,
but now, like, do you?
No. I mean, there's nobody really that I would say that I feel as though, you know, I didn't even score with or something like that. No, I don't. And the reason why, honestly, is because I know that, you know, that's just the way football goes, man. I mean, sometimes you get them, they get you. And I think the reason why I felt I'm good with that is because as many times as I got whacked and or hit or beat or whatever it is, I know I gave out my fair share. And I'm good with that. And I kind of liked it like that. I never felt like anybody hit me dirty or anybody tried to injure me or anything like that. So I was good with the give and take.
Did you ever hit somebody and feel sorry?
Yeah, I think I did. You know, we were when I was a rookie in Atlanta in 92 in the preseason, we were playing against Cleveland. I was playing for Jerry Glanville then, and there was a wide receiver who caught a slant route. Now, the interesting thing about that was I was groggy in that game. You know, these were back in the days before, you know, there was like a real extensive you know, checking on players who, you know, maybe had had concussions or what have you. And, you know, I know I was not right in that game, and I wasn't quite sure. You know, I had a couple big hits on Kevin Mack in the preseason, and you remember how big Kevin Mack was. So, I mean, every time you hit Kevin Mack, he's going to kind of knock your screws loose a little bit. And I hit this wide receiver simply because I was just standing in the middle of the field, didn't even know what the defensive call was, and I just know the ball was thrown, and I just sprinted towards this wide receiver and just literally, I mean, just hit him with all I had. And one of our defensive backs, I think his name was Frankie Smith, was hanging on him at the same time. And I knocked the wide receiver out. I mean, he was out cold. And I believe he wound up having, you know, he suffered some kind of injury to his neck or back. And Frankie Smith, who was hanging on him at, in the corner, who was covering him at the time, his finger got caught between me and the wide receiver. And it just obliterated his finger. And I think that's the time where I felt, man, not only did I injure the guy, I injured one of my own teammates. And yeah. I wasn't even quite sure what I was, you know, what I was supposed to be doing at the time. So, yeah, some of those big hits like that, you feel bad afterwards. But, I mean, that's just the way the, you know, that's the way the game was. And that's the way we played it. And that's the way I played it. Mm-hmm. And you didn't want to see guys get hurt. But it definitely, you know, in the 90s, 80s, you know, it was a different type of game, you know, back then. Especially when it came to collisions and high-speed collisions in the secondary. I mean, they were a regular occurrence. You know how that was.
Well, I tell this audience all the time, if you saw a game from the sidelines,
yeah,
you would never let your kid play that game. Because
no doubt.
It is just – I can close my – I went to a Giants game, and I was on the sidelines when LT was there and that great defense. Mm-hmm. I closed my eyes because I wanted to hear a game for a couple of plays. Holy smoke show. It was it was scary, Lewis. Scary. Yeah. The sound.
The images, the sound, the collisions. Like I played with, when I was in Cleveland, and then when I was in Atlanta too. In Atlanta, I played with Scott Case, Jeff Donaldson, Jesse Tuggle. Scott Case and Jeff Donaldson at safeties were pound for pound two of the toughest guys who ever played in the NFL. I saw Scott Case leave his feet and hit people, and the sound that you would hear, it was like a bomb went off. I played with Eric Turner in Cleveland. Eric Turner was easily in that category of the, you know, the late great Don Rogers, Kenny Easley, Ronnie Lott, Dennis Smith, those types of guys who were just vicious, vicious hitters, vicious. And when I played for the Raiders at the last year of my career, I mean, those were, I mean, when I went out there, every time I was trying to hit people like George Atkinson hit people, like, you know, love him or not. I mean, Jack Tatum was probably the biggest hitter of all time. And you're right. When you're doing it, it's not that you don't really know how vicious it sounds. But when you see your teammates do it, and or if you're on the sideline, you see another defender do it, you realize this is not for the timid, man.
Ooh.
It's not for the timid at all.
I'll leave you with this. The number of teams that you honestly think can go to the Super Bowl in the AFC and the NFC. Let's start with the AFC, that you truly believe they could play, they could represent their conference in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, you know Kansas City can, and they probably will. You know Buffalo right now, Buffalo's on a mission, and I think they are going to be, they're going to give Kansas City all they want in a rematch type scenario. I mean, we know Kansas City ran over them pretty hard earlier in the season. I think those two in the AFC are probably the ones who you legitimately say, you know, in all different types of environment scenarios, those two teams can travel and they can play, you know, they can play you however. I think the Colts are sneaky, because Chris Ballard is starting to give them that kind of, you know, he's kind of building them in that kind of image.
Are you sold on Phillip Rivers?
No. And I think, you know, I think in the end, when you assess them, I mean, I'm sold on Phillip Rivers as a quality core. I mean, he's done great things in his career. I just don't know if he has enough gas in the tank to deal with a team like Buffalo and Josh Allen, like Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. Those guys are special. Those guys can make the difference. Phillip can't be the difference anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference.
All right. NFC, how many teams legitimately can go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, in a one-off type of scenario, I mean, I think you probably have to count out the teams in the NFC East, only because, you know, I just don't know if they're ready yet, although, you know, teams like Washington and even the Giants, I mean, they're showing a lot of grit here late in the season. I just don't know if they're ready to contend with the Packers, because you know Aaron is just that special, and him and Matt LaFleur have it going on, so that's one of them. You know the Saints are going to be there despite the egg they basically laid against Philadelphia last week. You know they're going to be there because they can do it all offensively and defensively, especially when Drew's healthy. Tampa, I'm not so sure, man, anymore about Tampa. I just don't know. I mean, Bruce says they can do whatever the hell they want, quote unquote, as far as their identity offensively. I'm just not so sure.
But they got to win three games on the road, though, Lewis. They're not going to have home field advantage.
Exactly. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people in the NFL believe home field advantage doesn't mean anything. And I guess it depends where they have to go, especially in this pandemic year. I guess it depends where they have to go. If they have to go somewhere cold weather, then maybe that's the equalizer. But I don't think home field's the same as it is. I really don't. But we'll see with them.
Seattle?
And then Seattle, if their defense can continue to come on, yeah.
And the Rams, too, though. The Rams, to me.
That's right. There's a lot more in the NFC.
They're solid.
That's right. The Rams are a down-and-dirty type team. Great defense. Brandon Staley is a great young coach, up-and-coming coach, be a head coach very soon. And on the offensive side, when Sean is in that rhythm and Jared Goff is in that rhythm with him, they will run the ball down your throat with those backs that they have. And then they'll gas you with that play-action passing game. They're not sneaky anymore. People know that Sean McVay's a good coach, and they know that they have a solid football team. So, yeah, there's a lot more possibilities in the NFC.
It'll be the Steelers at the Bengals next Monday night. Lewis, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely, Dan. Always love coming on. Thank you.
That's Lewis Riddick, the former defensive back, former scout, director of pro personnel. He'll probably get one of those jobs here soon. You know, I think that's what he's always wanted to do, and we'll probably get a role here in the next couple of years. We'll take a break. Your phone call's coming up next year on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I don't care what Todd says. I have to get to these phone calls.
Come on.
Feels like every day you dismiss these callers.
They can hold us still another hour and 10 minutes here.
Now, Todd always goes, don't they have a job? And I go, well, that's not a fair approach
to
this.
I'm not mean to the call. Now you're making me feel bad.
All right. I made you feel bad yesterday when I yelled
you
at
really
you.
You really did. You took a tone that I didn't appreciate, but you made a valid point.
Is your shirt choking you?
It's not choking me, but I put on a couple of pounds recently, so the second chin neck situation plus the closing of the top button is affecting the airwaves a little bit. I can breathe and everything. I'm not getting pale, but you know, it looks weird and it feels snug.
So there's a nor'easter headed our way, it looks like, Wednesday night into Thursday morning. And we're making plans in case, you know, we have to stay here at the Man Cave. And Todd, the last time he stayed here at the Man Cave, that didn't go well because you stayed in a room.
It was very cold.
With a chair, and you didn't move, even though it was really cold.
And then right across the way from the very cold room that I was lying in, even though it was a very nice, comfy recliner, was the buzzing sound of the technical equipment where all the boxes and plugs are. So all night you're hearing it. And I did have the option to move, but I don't know. I just stuck it out being very cold. With a jacket zipped all the way up to my chin.
Okay, what are you going to do on Wednesday night into Thursday morning?
And with your permission, I would probably join the Danettes and zoom in from the house. God willing, technically everything.
So you're going to leave me alone?
You would probably be alone for that one day on Thursday.
But we've established a rapport.
We have. With the, you know, do you like, you know, butter on the bread being frozen? And how was your commute? And
yeah,
what are you doing this weekend? How's the dog? And we figure out a way to get some topics going.
Made lunch for Todd yesterday. Just little things.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was thoughtful.
But that's, you know, because I thought, well, I'm making lunch, so maybe I should see if you want something.
I'm still hoping that we're not going to get this 8 to 12 inches. That they get a little crazy with the forecast.
Well, the weather forecaster never goes, it's only going to be 5 inches. They always have to go, well, it's going to be 12.
Yeah, because you won't get mad at them if it's just a dusting or a couple of inches. If it goes the other way and they say it's just an inch or two and we get 18 inches, I'm like, what are you doing? Killing me.
All right, let me get some phone calls in. Gibbs in Virginia. Hi, Gibbs. What's on your mind today?
What's up, DP? How's it going?
Good, sir.
And Fritzy, yeah, looking for a job. So if you got one at the man cave, let me know. But not exactly Atticus Finch checking in. What's up, McLovin? Big up to you, Dan, for calling out Chris in Syracuse, man. I've been meaning to mention him in my last couple of calls. An absolute classic caller. You know, we've had some over the years. Jake in Wisconsin. I believe it was Chris in Indiana with What's Up Homes, How You Living? Is that correct?
That was Chris in Ohio.
Chris in Ohio, excuse me. And Jeff in Detroit now is killing it. So he's getting up there in that Chris in Syracuse level. But wanted also mention a 757 guy here from southeastern Virginia, Norfolk, Keontae Johnson going down, still in a coma. But he, all indications that he's hearing and listening to command. So we wish for his speedy recovery. Also want to ask, get Paulie's perspective later about Sam Howell's chances, being that UNC had such a breakout on offense, if that hurts or helps his chances next year, being that they have the most potent offense. But the reason for my call, Dan, is Virginia Tech is the last underdog, if you will, to get into the national title. And that goes back to 2000 in Michael Vick's freshman year. Virginia Tech began the year at number 13, played FSU, started the year at number one. And for whatever it's worth, Virginia Tech finished with a 6.12 rating and FSU with a 2.4 rating. But Virginia Tech hopped up above Nebraska, Alabama, Tennessee. And it took two losses by Tennessee for an undefeated Virginia Tech team to pass Tennessee in week 11 and go on and finish ahead of a one-loss Nebraska team. I don't think we'll ever see that again.
And it also helped that we had Michael Vick, and, you know, he was great TV. But, you know, it's an inexact science, and it's going to stay that way. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff.
What up, though, Dan? Thanks for all of the positive words out there, man. For real, we're trying to get it together. Hopefully this vaccine gets out, get to the man cave, and we can throw a big old DP show party in 2021. Listen, brother, I have me and my friend was talking, and at this point in the season, who are you most impressed with? Indianapolis coach Frank Reich, coach of the year candidate. No quarterback comes in, gets Phillip Rivers. We don't know what he has, and they're almost at the top of the AFC South. Then you look at the Washington football team, Alex Smith, new coach, new regime. It was a lot more drama off the field than on the field. At this point in the season, which organization are you most impressed with?
Oh, it's Washington. It's not even close. Thank you, Jeff. Like, the Colts had a very good team. The nucleus is there. Coach, GM. And you brought in Phillip Rivers. We just didn't know how much he has left in that arm. I still don't know. Washington had the name, sexual harassment allegations. Alex Smith is your emergency quarterback. Dwayne Haskins is not panned out. Ron Rivera going through cancer treatment. It's not even close. Comeback coach of the year, player of the year. Final hour coming up.